I invite you this morning to hear the gospel from Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. If you would please stand. After Jesus had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave whom he valued highly and who was ill and close to death. When he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, asking him to come and heal his slave. When they came to Jesus, they appealed to him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy of having you do this for him, for he loves our people, and it is he who built our synagogue for us." And Jesus went with him, but when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but only speak the word, and let my servant be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and the slave does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd that followed him, he said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Each week in the Lighthouse Church in Boca Grande, Florida, we utilize a greeting. After we read the gospel text and we take a seat, we say, "God loves you, and so do I." So I want to invite you to turn to who's sitting next to you and say that to them: "God loves you, and so do I." It really lightens up the crowd if the sermon happens to be Pitts for the day. I extend to each of you my deepest gratitude for the invitation to be with you on this sacred day and in this sacred place called Epworth. I thank Reverend Johnson for the invitation and for all of you that are here. This is my first time here, and I have to say, what a special and what a beautiful place. Epworth's natural beauty, its history, and the community that has been cultivated here for so many years is inspiring. Joy and I are honored to be a part of it for these few days to dive into this community. Community. Community is a word that is derived from Anglo-Norman and Middle French origins. In its purest forms, it means joint ownership. So in the sense of the word, in community, there would also be collective decision-making and the sharing of things in common. The community would be sensitive to what builds it up. The community would be sensitive to what makes it prosper. It would have interest in the common good of others within it. I think of the communities of the Jewish kibbutzim throughout Israel. I think of the strong bond in many of the families and among the churches in the area where I was raised. Each person being an important contribution to the community, even though if they were different. But hasn't community been somewhat redefined without our permission? Corina Chicano recently stated in an article in the New York Times, There's an association that still lingers between community and a physical location, the idyllic small town, say, or the utopian village, real or imagined. It evokes a cozy and friendly, simple place in which people live in easy harmony and in cooperation, each with a role to play, each mattering to the whole. But the countless, ever-multiplying communities of today are something different. Not collections of humans functioning in unison, but random assortments of people who do the same things, like the same things, hate the same things, or believe the same things. Life online is absolutely full of communities. Are any of you in an online Facebook group, an online community that you didn't define? Maybe you were placed in it by someone else who thought you should be in that community. There are fan communities and hobbyist communities, communities for users or enthusiasts of every consumer product imaginable. Every interest, every circumstance and point of identification, it seems, benefits by gathering under this feel-good umbrella word, which instantly puts a friendly gloss on every activity. People who interact are a community. People who don't interact but share some quality or belief become a community. People who are lumped into communities by other communities are communities. Community makes everything sound better, doesn't it? It makes the activist community sound approachable. It makes the skincare community sound important. It makes the Christian community sound inclusive and sound kind. It makes the medical community sound folksy and skilled at the bedside. It makes the homeless community sound voluntary. It makes the gun rights community sound humanistic. It makes the tech community sound like good citizens. So I guess in actuality, in the modern sense of the redefined word, community can indeed become individualistic. Community can become an isolated island of the like-minded. Community can become fields of silos that separate rather than bring together. Yet we discover all throughout the Gospels and all throughout the New Testament that individualism just doesn't work. It takes a village. It leads to the hardening of instincts, individualism, and rules, and the practicing of tribal and narrow ideologies. So in reflecting on the gospel text for today, I not only see the healing power of Jesus, I not only see the faith of a Roman centurion, but I see the faith of a community, a corporate faith. Capernaum was a diverse lakeside community. It was a thoroughfare for trade and for travel. This is a community not where everyone is the same. This is a community that is made up of different political allegiances and different levels of power, different races, adherences to different faiths. Yet they all are Capernaum. They all are one community. And today's reading is a story of faith that is discovered in unexpected places. Faith to do good, faith to heal, faith of different people wanting to do no harm but to see someone made whole, faith that flows out of one's love for others to make their lives complete. Now, in our post-Reformation and post-modern world, we often simplify and individualize both community and faith. Most often we think that having faith is something we alone decide and something that we alone carry out. But faith has aspects that are indeed personal, but faith is also very communal. In today's story, we encounter the unexpected faith of a centurion. He was a Roman citizen. He was a powerful military officer deployed to maintain order in the Roman Empire. He was widely known in the community as a strong leader and was hospitable to the Jews. He even had been employed to construct the synagogue in Capernaum, the very place where some of you may have stepped foot. The centurion was an honorable man, noted in the collective community as one of goodwill. But his slave, his servant, was sick. And he had heard of a healer traveling along the banks of the lake. And because he had assisted in the construction of the synagogue, and he was in relationship with the Jewish leaders who employed him, and in relationship with his slave, they were in community with one another. The centurion's slave, who was sick, who needed the touch from Jesus, brought them all together to seek him out by the lake shore. Oh, the centurion just seems big and tough and strong and mean, doesn't he? But there must have been a softness in the centurion's heart and a longing for healing for his slave. His slave would have been one with absolutely no standing in the community, no pull, no influence, in total dependence on his master for his deliverance. So we see the centurion now, and in the depths of a strong man's soft heart, the centurion desired for his slave to be made whole. We see him saying, "There's nothing else I can do in my strength and in my power, but call on the man named Jesus." So faith begins to spring up in the centurion's heart. And he asks himself, are we going to have to part? Are we a part? Can we be a part of the community of the healed? Will this man stop by? The centurion had unexpected faith in a moment, faith in Jesus, and he exercised his faith in an unexpected way. And so the Jewish leaders went to get Jesus as a community of people representing the wider community of which they were a part. Their differences laid aside. They sought on behalf of the centurion for the slave to be healed. So Jesus accepted their invitation and set out to go to the house of the centurion. And the text says that they weren't far from the house when the centurion changed his mind about Jesus coming over, and he decided he didn't want Jesus there. His excitement had turned to his own personal concern and fear and doubt. "I'm not sure about this. I'm not really a part of this community. These people are different than me. I know I built their synagogue, but this is asking too much. What does my slave mean to any of these people?" He felt like we often do. Maybe you have never done this, but I do it all the time. I second guess my faith. But that did not stop the unexpected faith of this community, and it didn't stop the grace of Jesus Christ in healing the slave. Even though the centurion felt unworthy, he exercised his faith, and Jesus honored his faith. We remember in the text, "Just say the word, Jesus, and my servant will be healed. And at the word of Jesus, his servant was healed. The centurion was a man of authority, but in this moment, he recognized that even his great authority within his Roman context must submit to the authority and the grace of Jesus. And after a bit more conversation, Jesus said of the unexpected faith of the centurion, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." Faith is not the absence of doubts, but faith is believing even though you have them. Faith is not the absence of doubts, but faith is believing even though you have them. We also see the unexpected faith in the community of the Jewish elders. The Jewish elders who assisted the centurion is surprising. These elders respected the centurion for the things that he had done for them. So in community, as a group, the elders go to Jesus and request him to bring healing to the servant. They go together in community, seeking Jesus to touch the least of these. The community of elders played a role in bridging the gap between both people of ethnic differences and those who have no voice. So the community brought together Jesus, the centurion, and the servant, and God's grace was before them, and the servant was healed. Without the formation of this community of elders, without their role in welcoming one who is coined other, the servant might have never been healed. Someone else had to speak out for the servant. Someone else had to tap in to the saving power for him and use their power on his behalf. I'm sure there were doubts, but they went for it. Where in your life do you need to go for it? Where in the life of your community, where in the life of this community, do you need to just go for it? Jesus healed the least powerful one of them all. As the centurion was an outsider by position and culture, to a much greater extent, the servant of his household has no position, no power, no influence. The slave lived on the margin without voice or vote in what became of him. He served, dependent upon the generosity of his employer to provide for him in sickness as well as in his health. The centurion could have treated him as disposable, replacing him with someone more able-bodied. But the centurion had unexpected faith. Jesus, through his healing of the slave, through faith, extended God's graciousness to one of the most vulnerable members of this culture. And this is a miracle of a supportive community that will do anything in its power to help the powerless and to help the voiceless. It bids us to recognize the interconnected ecology of the human community. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "I cannot be what I ought to be until you are what you ought to be." The human community. We gathered here today. We play a role in the healing of others. Jesus is the healer, but he uses us in the process of communities of persons working together. Remember, he doesn't even give a specific command for the healing of the slave, but when they return to the house, the slave is found in good health. And as a community, we speak for and with those who may have no voice. We search for and use resources that may help those who are ill in mind, in body, and in spirit. We do all that is in our power for the wellness of another, even though they may not be in our social circle. And as a community, we listen to the unexpected faith of the voices that we hear coming from others, especially those to whom we wouldn't expect would have such a voice or such a faith. Our lives are filled with the powerful like the centurion and the powerless like the slave, and in community we work together. I encourage you to think about those people whom you know that are both powerful and powerless. Perhaps we can imagine them as beloved children of God, and that God's grace could be leading this community to be a bridge of healing and wholeness. They may not believe exactly how we do. In this case, the centurion was of another religion altogether. But they might just teach us something about faith and the immeasurable grace of Jesus Christ. One or the other may be calling for Jesus, and we are the community that must, for lack of a better words, go and get him. Epworth, here on the lakeshore, could just be another Capernaum, where there is neither Jewish elders or Gentile centurions, where there is neither sick slaves or free ones, where there is neither males or females, but where all walks of life in community are one. Aren't those the types of places where Jesus likes to walk? This is the real miracle in Capernaum, a glimpse of the realization of an interrelational, interconnected web of healing by the grace of God. Faith, both personal faith and communal faith. The realization that no one should exist in isolation, for an individual is a person through and with others. Let us be real and an authentic community, centered on the gospel of Jesus Christ, having joint ownership of this common mission. This common mission that changes the world. May we be the community of God for the healing of our sisters and of our brothers. That would be a real miracle for us today. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Holy God, grant us such faith that we might approach you in confidence with our deepest needs and heart's desire, confident of your commitment to bless and heal us in all things. In the name of Jesus, the healer, we pray. Amen.